Psalm 96 belongs to a collection of psalms that celebrate God's reign over everything. The psalmist uses the imperative, a command, to summon everyone and everything to action, to praise. Musicians love this psalm because the command is to sing to the Lord a new song. And they took that to heart this Sunday, and they chose extra songs to sing, and that's great. It's nice to hear you all singing this morning and the voices raised in praise. This new song is to praise God's name, to proclaim good news, to declare God's glory, which is glorious, as we heard this morning, and to proclaim God's marvelous deeds, in particular, the freedom of God's people from slavery in Egypt. Was often celebrated as the pivotal event for God's people. Psalm 96 is a coronation, an inaugural event of proclaiming God as King, God who reigns. Every level of creation and beyond is summoned and activated, the earth, all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth, the heavens, the sea, the fields, and the trees of the forest. Later on in the service, we'll sing about the trees of the field clapping their hands. And that comes from psalms like this. Other nations' gods are dismissed as idols. Israel's God is the only creator of everything and is the one God worthy of honor and praise. Israel's God reigns over all. The one God is the ultimate arbitrator of truth and justice. And one day, all the earth and all the peoples of the earth will be judged by this holy and great and worthy one. Sing to the Lord a new song. Proclaiming that God is the ruler of the universe is one of the enduring claims of Judaism. Most of the prayers and blessings of the Jewish faith begin with Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe. And if you explore some of the prayers and blessings of Judaism, you'll find that at the beginning of many of them. The Jewish people have wrestled with this understanding of God as the one in ultimate control over the course of history and events, and the God who paid special attention to Israel. With that kind of understanding, you can imagine the consternation of Israel when the tide of history would turn against them. In 586 BCE, when the Babylonian Empire rode roughshod over Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and sent a portion of Judah's people into exile in a foreign country, it was a crisis of faith for Judaism, because they thought that God would just take care of them, no questions asked. They had to rethink everything. And many of the scriptures that we read on a weekly basis, in the Old Testament in particular, come out of that struggle to understand who they were and who God was. But in spite of their defeat and loss of temple and homeland, Israel continued to proclaim God as the ruler of the universe. The troubles of the day were seen as temporary setbacks. History was seen as a plan, the plan of God for humankind that would eventually culminate in the glorious reign of God and the restoration of Israel. So when the Persian Empire under Cyrus the Great defeated the Babylonians and allowed the Jewish people to return and rebuild in their homeland, Cyrus was seen as God's anointed one, even though he was not a Jew. Cyrus the Great was a more benevolent conqueror and ruler and allowed subject people to follow their own customs and religions and return to their homeland. And he was praised for that. So the prophet Isaiah presents Cyrus the Great as an instrument of God to bring justice and restoration to God's people. It was an amazing claim, but it went right along with the understanding that Yahweh God was looking out for Israel And Yahweh God was in control of history, even choosing a foreigner to bring deliverance to Israel. Yahweh God, the ruler of the universe, was the measuring stick, the template for earthly rulers. Like the order of the created world, good rulers created order and stability for the realm, for their reign. Earthly rulers did not create severe inequality among people, but rather paid attention to the widow and the orphan, the foreigner and the slave. Their justice was fair, and the people had value. Earthly rulers were called shepherds and servants, and when earthly rulers became oppressive and unjust and tried to put themselves in place of God, God sent special messengers with warnings and reminders to turn away from these destructive ways. Politics in ancient times and politics in modern times is tricky business. Truth-telling prophets risk their necks when they speak truth to power, whether it be John the Baptist or Nelson Mandela, as we heard last week from Omar, or Carmen Yulín Cruz, mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico. The Romans and Jewish leaders were concerned about this Jesus movement. Jesus was becoming popular and threatening the order of things. He was demonstrating what a ruler would do when faced with a people struggling under the oppressive rule of the Roman Caesar and King Herod. The Herodians were more concerned about squeezing taxes and revenue from the population than they were concerned about the well-being of the people. King Herod's family had executed John the Baptist. The Pharisees were threatened by Jesus because he was demonstrating the rule of love rather than the rule of religious law. So when these two parties came to ask Jesus whether it was lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not, yes or no was the answer, it was a no-win situation for Jesus. If he said no, the Herodians would accuse him of defying Rome. If he said yes, the religious leaders would accuse him of giving in to the pagan emperor. So Jesus asked for the coin of the realm, and when it was handed to him, he noted the image that was on the coin. And Caesar's image was on it, and we have the memorable line, "Give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." The Herodians were placated, and the Pharisees were blocked again by the wisdom of this teacher. Jesus acknowledges God's rule, but the tax is paid. Is this a compromise? Seems like politics is often about compromising principle, finding that middle ground. When we pay our taxes, we don't mind funding schools and roads and health care and hurricane relief and good policies of government. However, when we think of our tax dollars going to a bloated, obscene military budget and aid to corrupt apartheid regimes and private jets for politicians, we struggle with compromise and we want to draw a line. It's not always easy to figure out what belongs to Caesar, because we are also challenged with the question, what belongs to God? We know the answer to that question, and it's everything. When we gather in worship to sing a new song, we gather to remember that we are made in the image of God. We gather to remember that God is love. As Christians, we look to the wise teacher named Jesus, and we find inspiration on how to navigate the politics of the day. We practice compassion and service. We oppose oppression and exploitation. We give to God our best, our all, our gratitude, and our love. Sing to the Lord a new song this day. Amen.